The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
This is Alice Cooper, the original Technotard, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeer.
I'm Broadway.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Now, we are the show that talks about
computers,
technology,
and the internet.
We're like a finely tuned orchestra.
Sure, let's just roll with that. Yeah.
Oh, man. So good to see you guys today. It's been a crazy week for just about everybody, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty much. I mean, my whole week has pretty much been Skype and Zoom meetings with family and friends and coworkers because we're all stuck at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So now they just did an order this week for Arizona, stay at home. And I know more and more states are doing that now where it's like you just can't go out unless you have a job that says you're needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the hard part.
I just love the realization that now we get from all of the media and all of the people in these meetings. We get to see their lives. We get to see each other's lives. We're used to this because we communicate this way, and we've just decided to start sharing the video this recently with everyone. But the kids screaming in the background, the cats, the dog.
Do you hear Eric screaming in the background?
I do.
Right now?
No, awesome. I saw your son, but I thought it was my cat. So I'm looking around. Okay, is that my cat screaming?
Yeah, he's at the top of the stairs. I have the baby gate up there, and he's like, bye, 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 bye. He's recently into Rabbids. I don't know if you
Rabbids.
Know. The, Rabbids. It's the animated series with a bunch of crazy rabbits that are, I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain, but it
Never
was a video
heard
game.
Of it.
It was a video game, and then they came out to an animated series, but the rabbits, they don't talk. They just say, blah, 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 blah. So he walks around the house saying, blah, 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 all the time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I want to touch on what John was just saying there, or Sean and John, everybody. But we were talking earlier about, you know, these reporters, you know, the TV stations doing their shows from home. And it's so funny because, like, you get to see who's making the real money at the station. Because you see that one reporter that's usually on the weekends and they're sitting in like a tiny little 700-foot square apartment, you know, square foot apartment. And then you get to see like the main anchor from the morning show and he's got like this mansion behind him, you know, and it's just like, mm-hmm.
You do like they did on, what is it, MTV Cribs? They would go out and they would rent a house that was like palatial to make it seem like that's where they lived.
Yeah. That's what I would do. If I was like a weekend reporter, I'd be like, nah, I'm going to rent this mansion and be like, yeah, I'm just sitting here in my house.
Well, you know
got,
what?
Got my pet tiger next to me.
So yeah. I had a funny moment in one of my Zoom calls at work. So I worked from home and we had our engineering meeting and I popped in and had my headset on. I had my mic. I had my light. And then you got everybody else with their really low quality
subpar
webcams and stuff. Subpar, or they're tilted too far forward or they're tilted way up. And you see up their nose.
Well, they're not wearing clothes.
Or they're on their phone. Or yeah. And it was everybody's just like, whoa, look at Sean being all professional.
Well, yeah. And that's funny because now I remember when Justin, you started using the setup that we sent, the SM7B, which is a great microphone. And a lot of broadcasters use that. You hear it in a lot of radio stations. When Justin first started doing that, you would go into Discord on the game chats and everybody was like, how does he sound so good?
Yeah. Because I was always used to using like a headset mic, you know, kind of like Broadway uses. And then when we got this nice setup, it was like, everybody's like, wow, you sound so much clearer and everything. How do you do that? And I'm like, well, I've got this multi-million-dollar setup over here. So, you know, but yeah, but it's funny. And then also like last week, some of you, I'm not sure if you guys know, but I hosted a virtual trivia night.
Now that is cool. I saw that.
Yeah. So our local brewery that we have in our neighborhood here, Brews Beers, I'm going to give them a shout out because they allowed me to give Tech Talk Radio a shout out. I host trivia at the brewery every Wednesday night, but unfortunately with them being closed down, we obviously can't do trivia. Mm-hmm. So the owner, Ryan, reached out to me and he said, hey, what do you think about doing virtual trivia night? And I'm like, well, initially I was like, I don't know if I can do that, you know, but then I fired up OBS, which is a Open Broadcaster Studio, or I think it actually stands for Open Broadcaster Software Studio. Anyway, it's a free open source way for you to edit and make your own live production, just like you would on a TV station. And so I got onto it, and you know, over the course of a couple days, there wasn't sometimes there wasn't a lot going on for work or whatever, or I'd be on my break, and I would edit some scenes, and I made a really, really cool production out of it. And so I told the owner, I said, look, you got to tune into this on Wednesday because you are going to be surprised. And he's like, oh, you're just going to be sitting on your couch, you know, talking questions. I'm like, no, sir, we're going to do something good. And I had, it was cool because I went live on their page. He gave me admin rights to the page for Brews Beers so I could go live as Brews Beers. And the first thing I did is I threw up a slate and I had a countdown timer going live in 5 minutes. Four, three. Oh wow. And then I would play some music in the background, so it got people to like be interested. They're like, oh hey, what's gonna happen in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, you know? And then I went live and I was like, Facebook, what's up? And then I came cut to me and I had this in the background, everything. If you're watching the webcast of this episode, you'll see what I'm talking about. But I went and I had transition scenes, so I was able to do transition scenes between the different parts of the trivia night. And then after each round, we would take like a 3 minute break and I'd have a countdown timer for the 3 minute break.
Yeah.
And I as a side note, I decided, you know what? I'm going to throw my, my Venmo and my PayPal in there just to say, hey, tips are appreciated.
Very
you
nice.
Know, thinking I'll make like $5 or $10. I made a lot of money.
Really? Nice.
I made a lot of money. We had about 90 people watching at the height of it. And I can tell you that people were extremely generous. And if anybody is listening to this podcast, I definitely appreciate you. And they were awesome. Everybody was awesome. Everybody had a great time. The owner even said, dude, that was amazing. How did you do that?
Yeah, and now how did you do? Podcast. Did you do the questions like so they would see the questions?
No,
or was it just the audio?
I would. The first round was a handout. So I would just put that up on the screen. And then they would, you know, look at it for about 10 minutes or whatever, and then I'd take it down. But then the other rounds, I would call out the questions. So every, like, 30 seconds or so, I would say another question, and then I would get up and I'd walk around a little bit because I'm tired of sitting in my chair. And I'd come back and I'd do another question, and we just do that whole thing. And then the last round was another handout, if you will. So I just put that up on the screen and let people watch it for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then I was like, all right, we're done. But the only downside is you can't grade the answers.
Right.
I mean, there are ways around it, but I'm not going to spend hours to try to grade 90 people's answers. So I just said, look, everybody, just keep track of your own scores. We're not here to compete. We're just here to have fun, you know, so just, you know, do your own thing. And people loved it. And we're doing it again this week.
Super, super cool. All right. Earlier this week, I got a chance to talk to the CEO of Grand Pet, and we're going to let Justin, Sean, and Broadway take a quick break as we talk with the CEO of the company. We got a phone call from a listener this past week, and the listener had a question. They are 71. They have no internet connection at their home. They would go to the library, and they would retrieve all of their email at the library. And the question was, how can they access their email if they don't have an internet, they don't have a smartphone, they don't have a laptop, no technology? And a gentleman was really great and explained it to me. And so I got together with Sean DeWeerd and we were talking about it. And Sean says, you know, I've heard about this product called GrandPad, and I think this might be a great solution. We reached out to the company, and within a half an hour, we had Scott Lean on the show to tell us all about the different products that they have and the great solution with GrandPad. And Scott is the CEO of the company. Scott, it's great to talk to you and see you face to face. And thanks for coming on Tech Talk Radio.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'll tell you, GrandPad is an amazing product for those that maybe are technically challenged or really just don't feel the need to have to get a full PC or a laptop or, you know, a tablet that's going to set them back about $800-$900. That doesn't have this capability to be able to do what GrandPad can do. Can you tell us a little bit about the company and kind of where did this idea come from?
Yeah, it came from a personal need we saw in our own family. So my son and I'm 55, my son is 25. We started the company together 6 years ago because we saw my mom, who was 80 at the time, and my mother-in-law, who's 88, struggling with standard technology. And as we started looking into it, we said, well, of course, no fault of theirs. They were trying to use technology, iPhones, iPads, other devices that were designed for 30-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's unreasonable to think that it would work great for someone who's 80 or 90, and they have different needs. And so we set out to design something from the ground up, hardware, software, service that was designed for what we lovingly call super seniors, all those folks that we just love so much or are over the age of 75, and it's designed just for them, and it's got all the things that they want, not the things that somebody who's 20 wants, and vice versa. So that's what started us out on this journey 6 years ago. And now we're reaching thousands and thousands of people around the world, and people really love it because it was designed for them.
Was the idea originally saying we need to do something that is not tied with suddenly you have to get an internet carrier, you have to worry about a router in the home, the Wi-Fi? I mean, was that kind of from the ground up? You realize this is one of the challenges we're going to have to face?
Yeah, absolutely. We just stepped back and looked at the whole, you know, the problem, and how, and then worked to come up with the solution. And what we said is, what my mom wanted was she wanted to be able to do video calls with her grandchildren who were all over the United States. And my mom, like many folks in this age group, suffered from pretty serious hearing loss. So talking on a standard landline or cell phone was not an option for her because she couldn't hear. And so she wanted to do a video call, but using Skype and futzing with her PC and dealing with headphones, it frustrated her. And frankly, it frustrated her to the point where it made her feel bad and made her feel stupid. She's like, well, why can't I figure this out? She ran her own business, was absolutely brilliant lady. But what it caused her to kind of withdraw and say, fussing with this technology and viruses and all this is so irritating to me. I'm just not going to do it. You know, human nature. Yeah. If something's painful, you withdraw from it. And then sadly, what's happening was she was more disconnected from her family because of that. So that was the problem we set out to solve. And it's exactly as you said. We said, let's try to solve all of it. No Wi-Fi is required because GrandPad comes built in. It's got 4G LTE, just like our cell phones built in. That's all there out of the box. When you ship it, it just automatically works. No cables that are hard to plug in, like on an iPhone where you got to plug it in. And if I have eyesight issues and tremors, this just has a wireless inductive charging docking station. You just set it there and it charges. So we really looked at even the packaging. We've all been frustrated. You go to the store and you buy something, it's got that plastic clamshell and you got a hammer and knife and a scissors to open it. We got rid of all that nonsense. And we made a product that my mom, Marlis, who sadly she's gone now, but my mother-in-law, 88, Joan, something that they would love and use every day to stay connected with their family.
Well, I love the fact too that, and some people have said, well, just, you know, if you could set up a Wi-Fi, you can give them a tablet. Okay. Let's face it. They have the tablet. I know I have a tablet and I lose it all the time. With this, you can use it and then put it right back on that charging station. Like you said, no worry about having to recharge it. And that's a nice looking charging station. So with it on a table, it's going to have a nice presentation.
That's right. Yeah. People like to keep it there, you know, next to them on their, either on their nightstand or on the end table next to them. It's always there. And we really obsessed about the design. So even what's the right angle so that when it's sitting there on the docking station, it's at the perfect angle to do a video call. I don't have to be holding it, and then it sees my face, and I can easily see my grandchildren. And the other thing is the audio quality. I'm always losing my headphones, and they're hard to plug in, and they don't work right, or the Bluetooth is dead. This has super loud front-facing speakers. So it's the loudest tablet. It's a custom-built tablet that was made just for this age group. So super loud that makes video calling easy, but it makes music. And I know your listeners love good oldies. We have,
oh, yeah.
We have over 30 million songs. I can play some audio for you. It's loud, it's clear, perfect to hear.
Well, the other thing we think about, if you give somebody a Chromebook or a laptop or even a MacBook, you got all those icons and you don't know what to click my mom went through this when she was with us. She would click on an icon and what the heck, where did I go? And moving it around is difficult. You have made the interface on this so easy to navigate and to see. And I remember when I was on your website taking a look at some of the videos on there, I really love the layout of it because, let's face it, you know, I want to do email. Boom, you click it and you're in your email. And it's very easy to navigate.
That's right. Yeah. And if you'd like to, I can show you kind of a quick demo now.
Yeah. If you could show us some of the features, and for our listeners that are listening on the radio, you go to our website at techtalkradio.com or even our social medias. You'll be able to see this video there where you can get a look at just how easy it is to use the GrandPad. Go ahead and tell us kind of what are some of the features we're looking at.
Excellent. Good. Well, you can see it's an 8-inch tablet. You can see with my hands a nice size. It's you know, we say it's big enough that you can see, and you've got plenty of screen real estate. You got a good place to put your thumbs. Big front-facing speakers, but yet small enough that you can take it with you. You can put it in your purse, in your bag, put it in the car, and just a real simple interface. And what we say is it's the 10 or so apps that you want and care about, not the 10 million in the app store that you don't want and you're confused by. So let me start with photos. Mm-hmm. And so this is really what seniors love the most. It's pictures and videos of the kids and grandkids coming in nice and easy and big. You can see them full screen. And if I want to comment on those photos, I can. I can read the comments that are there. If I don't want that picture, I can remove it. But just super easy. You don't have a lot of fancy pinch gestures and all these different confusing things. And those pictures get on there. The family, the kids and the grandkids, they use our free companion app on their iPhone or and you can see the free companion app. The family can post pictures kind of Facebook or Instagram style and pick those, and then grandma and grandpa and the whole family can see them. So we have that notion we call the circle of trust.
This would automatically share with the device. They can go ahead and select it. Yeah, I want to share this. And rather than having to dig through an email and download it, it will actually automatically go into that photo section.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. Right.
It just automatically shows up. And then if I sat here for a few minutes, it automatically goes into the slideshow mode. So when it's sitting in that docking station, it goes into slideshow mode, and now it's a picture frame. And grandma and grandpa can see all the pictures of the kids and grandkids just scrolling by. And I think it's about every 10th frame, it'll put up the time and the temperature and that. So it's just kind of a nice little picture frame there in the background.
That is great.
So that's some of the photos and videos. You mentioned email. We've got the world's simplest email. And so it's this nice letter metaphor. Who's it from? What's the subject? And I can read the message really easily. I want to compose an email, and if I want to send an email to my grandson, Scott, I can type it if I want, or most of our customers just like to talk, so they can just talk. And
oh, that's
it
awesome.
It does a countdown, and now you can see it's recording my voice. And so the microphone is moving, it's recording my voice, so everything I say is being recorded. When I finish, I just say, all done, send the message. And off it goes. And now that just shows up in grandson Scott's Gmail box. And what's nice is it's actually the whole recording. I can hear my mom's voice. How's she feeling? Does she have a cold? How's she feeling? And so it's just really easy. So, you know, just one touch, one tap, and I can send emails to the whole family.
That is great.
So that's a little bit on email. Of course, grandma has a camera or a video camera, so she can take pictures and record. And I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. The seniors can see their picture. So here's for Grandpa Scott. I can see my profile picture and my weather where I'm at here in Newport Beach. And the weather's looking pretty good this week. But more importantly is I can see the weather of my whole family, the whole circle of trust. So here's of daughter Sally, who's in Lahaina, Hawaii.
Nice.
And they've got great weather there. So, it's a way to easily see very enjoyably the whole family's weather. It's got a radio station. And so we need to get your radio station plugged in.
Oh,
and
absolutely. Yes.
And then, yeah. So we will get you put on here. But here's some of the local radio stations here for me in Los Angeles.
Right.
So, boom.
Oh, that is great. So they can load their favorite station, and they don't have to go fiddle with a knob or try to bring it in through TuneIn. They've got this all integrated right here. If they're streaming,
that's right.
They can add you.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, that's great.
Now the music is my favorite feature. So I can search and I can find, we basically have every song, everything old, everything new, iTunes, et cetera. I can search by artist, search by song, but and then we have these curated playlists.
Oh, nice.
Of all these different eras, 40s, 50s. So what do you think? Maybe some good 50s music?
Yeah.
These are curated. Let's see what comes up here. So Frankie Avalon.
Oh.
This one on your playlist by chance?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We play this, but I'm loving this add to collection feature. So you could curate a collection of your favorites, and whenever you want to listen to those, there they are, right?
Oh. That's right. And what's happening is, so I say yes, And now I can say, open my music collection, and there it is. There is my collection, which you can see. I have that Frankie Avalon song. I have some Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
I have, Rockin' Robin.
By, love that tune.
By Bobby Day. So, and
that is,
and that's that, that music, that's all included. There's no extra charge for that. You don't have to pay per song, and you don't have to pay a monthly fee. That's included, and we'll get to the pricing at the end. So we don't want to nickel dime people. It's just everything's included. Games is hugely popular. We got all the classics like solitaire, blackjack, slots.
Slots.
So if I want
to... My mom used to love playing the slots. Yes.
There you go. So, you know, nice, fun, easy games like that. But even some really difficult, we got bingo, of course, spider, solitaire, Texas Hold'em,
right.
Bridge, very sophisticated bridge, hearts, hangman, Sudoku, crossword. I like to show this one, memory. So this is great for cognitive stimulation. And instead of it being, you know, this is the old classic match too. Instead of being cards, it's actually the profile pictures of the family. Let's see if I can get one
two.
To match here.
Lower
Let's
one.
See, was it this one maybe?
Yeah.
There you go. So the pictures of the family matching. So you can do a couple of these every day. Just keep your brain going, right?
Oh, I love this.
So games.
Tell us about tell us about wellness. That I like that.
So we have an optional feature here. If this wearable I wear, and this tells me my steps and my sleep, and so I can see how many steps I'm walking each day and what my sleep was. We also have an optional body weight scale, so we can track our body weight. These are some options that are available that are generally kind of used in a healthcare context.
Right.
Okay. A key thing that I like to point here is the help button. The most important thing about GrandPad, we love the hardware, we love the software, but our service. We have a fantastic customer care team. We're available literally 7x24x365. We're available to people on Thanksgiving, Christmas, because we want to be there for them. If they're stuck and trying to do a video call with their grandkids on Christmas morning, we're there. You simply press the help button. You're going to talk to one of our lovely premium customer care. Our team is here actually in the Midwest, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and they're there. They're all our employees, highly trained. They love working with seniors and their families, and they're not in any hurry. That you don't have to press one for this, six for that. They're just there to help.
Now, what is transportation? Is that to call a car for a ride?
It's Lyft. We have a partnership with Lyft, and we have
great.
A really simple. It's the same Lyft, you know, like Lyft and Uber service, but it's really simplified, and there's some additional safety features that are available. And not only so you can pre-program, where would you like to be picked up from? Well, I'm at home, so I want to be picked up from home, and this is my home address.
Yeah.
Where do you want to be taken to? Well, I want to go to the GrandPad office. And there's the office. So now it's going to organize a ride and say, you know, you want to go from here to here. But a key thing is at any time you can press the red support button. Our fantastic customer care is there. They can see where the car is at. They can help you through that process. Because sometimes when you're like at the shopping mall or out, you're like, where's the car? I can't find the car. This just beams it right in and they're there for you. So let's see. I think I skipped by call. This is probably the most important thing. If I want to, as grandpa, I want to call my son Scott, I can video call him or I can phone call.
It gets a number?
Absolutely. This has full inbound and outbound phone calling. So this is assigned a phone number. People can call into the GrandPad and the seniors can call out from it. Or they can do video call and my iPhone rings, or I can do it on a desktop also. Or there's also a dial pad. So I can dial any number in the world and all the data charges, you know, for that are included. There's no extra fee to call. If you've got family that lives in, you know, Spain, you can call them up and talk to them. That's kind of the quick overview of some of the key features anyway.
I love it. And I love the design. Again, now, how about the safety of the product itself? Because let's face it, sometimes, you know, we stumble, we drop it. It looks like it has a kind of an edge on it, almost like a hard edge to protect it.
That's right. Yeah, so it is kind of a typical tablet, but part of it, and you don't have to go buy something extra, is this called a smart case. So it's well designed, and this is the on-off switch. When you want it on, you just open it and it turns on.
Very nice.
And so you don't have to fuss with a button. And actually, when we ship it to you, it has to be turned off when we ship it. But all you do is you simply set it in the docking station. You just have to plug this into the wall. It's got a nice long cord on it, so you don't have to find an extension cord. When you set it there, it actually senses power and it automatically turns itself on. And you just open the cover and it's on.
Now,
and you just leave it there.
I am wondering, and I'm not sure of this feature, if it is available. Say if somebody wants to watch a movie, have you tied with any of the streaming services yet? Is that something you're looking into?
It is something we're looking into. We haven't done that yet, but it is something we're looking at. Yep.
But certainly with all those other features, the music, the games, it's a great device. Now, price-wise, how do you price this to make this, again, at the right price point for a senior to not be overwhelming? And then, of course, you've got the cell connection. You've got all of that to think about.
Yeah. As you pointed out, if I go buy a tablet, that could be $500 or more. And now you've got to go buy all the cables and cords and cases and all the accessories. And the accessories are expensive. I mean, you may spend another $100+ on accessories, mm-hmm. just to get the thing to work. Now you've got the tablet. Now you either have to get Wi-Fi, you know, broadband internet in your house. The average cost of internet across the U.S. now is $54 a month. That's the average. But as soon as you walk outside your house, you go to the doctor, church, pharmacy, you go, you know, Wi-Fi doesn't work outside your house. Ours comes included. So all the hardware, all the case, the charger, everything just that you need. You don't need to go buy anything extra. It's $250 up to buy the hardware up front. And then the monthly service is $40 a month. But that includes the 4G LTE data, right? So you don't need to go work with Verizon or someone separate. That's all included. It's all set up for you. It includes all the music. You know, if you go buy music off iTunes or something, that can be $0.99
a song.
The music's all included. And probably the most valuable part is that service. You call us, we answer the phone, and the people are highly trained, they're patient, they're, you know, US-based, and they're there to help you any time of day. And so, you know, that's the pricing, $250 and $40 a month. But a key thing is there's no contract. You can use it for a month, and if you don't like it, that's fine. You're not locked into a contract. And so you just simply go to our website, grandpad.net, grand as in awesome, pad as in iPad.net, grandpad.net, and you can read all about it. There's videos there. There's a big buy now button in the upper right, and that will take you to our distribution partner, which is a fantastic organization called Consumer Cellular. They actually have a big operation there in Phoenix and Portland. They are our fulfillment partner, and you can buy through them, or it's also available through Target stores, target.com. If you're still able to get out and about, you can go into the stores and they have it back in the electronics section. And the same great return policy that Target has, if you take it home and it's not the right thing, you can return it, no questions asked.
Well, it's cool because the person I talked to called me back this morning and I told him, he said, you know, thank you for all of that. And he actually was going to Target today to find it. So I told him, let me know when you get it all set up, the whole bit. And I said, if you aren't able to find it there, you can order it there at the store and they should be able to get it to you and let you know when it comes in as well. But again,
that's right. Because sadly, we all know right now, lots of things are out of stock and whatnot. But if you order it online, you know, we'll make sure you get it. We get it.
Once again, that website is grandpad.net. I want to thank you so much, CEO of the company, coming on and talking with us and telling us all about Grandpad. Great product. I really like it.
Thanks for having me. And I will just close with whether you have a Grandpad or an iPhone or Skype or whatever you have, please call the super seniors in your life. Do a video call like we're doing right now. Do it every day. Sadly, you know, everybody around the country is kind of on lockdown, but many of these folks that are in facilities can't even leave their room, and it will just mean the world to them. So really, we encourage everybody, reach out to your loved ones and stay connected with them during this difficult time.
Very good stuff. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. And we'll have Justin Broadway and, of course, Sean DeWeerd sharing the latest when it comes to tech with us as well. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. Also on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio, Instagram at Tech Talk Radio. And if you're on Snapchat, feel free to follow me. I'll follow you right back, AndyTaylor520. And we'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
I'm Broadway.
And I'm Andy Taylor. So earlier this week, Broadway, you were talking about news anchors and reporters that are doing their segments from home. And this past week on the Fox affiliate that I do my tech segments on, Stephanie was doing a segment of weather from her home. And I remember thinking, oh, that's kind of cool, because even in the studios, and I don't know if they're doing this at Fox in Denver, Justin, they have taken the anchors where normally they're sitting together and they have spaced them throughout the studios.
Well, yeah, they have a very extra large desk that they sit at. So they're sitting 6 feet apart from each other. But the reporters are all from home.
Right.
You know, even the weathercasters, even the weathermen. Mm-hmm. And they all have one little TV behind them. And I guess, and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a little bit more on the production side of things. But from what I gather, based on my information from my contact at the station that I work with, they're using technology called Teradek and Dejero. And what they're doing is the Dejero, it's like a cellular bonded video device. And they're putting this Dejero in the person's house. And then they're connecting the output to a TV screen on HDMI, where at the station, they can switch what they want. For the weather person, if they want to do the 7-day forecast or they want to do the current radar, they can send that stream outbound via cellular modems, which then get remuxed back into the Dejero or Teradek and then put onto their little TV screen at the person's house.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
There's very little delay, maybe like a second or so delay. And then also they're doing the same thing for return video feed. So the person sitting there talking about the weather in their own home, they're using another Dejero to feed that video back into the studio to put live on TV.
The funny thing is you're seeing things now. It's a more real... You feel more connected when you see an anchor or meteorologist doing the weather from their home. Stephanie was doing her report this past week, and I remember right in the middle of it, her dog started unleashing. Like, I don't know if somebody was walking in her backyard or whatever, but they just started going off, and it was you could see her getting flustered. And, you know, it used to be if you had somebody on a live feed and they were doing a shot from an event somewhere, you always had to...
Hey, what's up, everybody?
You had to worry about that. Some guy coming in the middle of the shot, doing something derogatory or whatnot. And now you have to worry... You think you don't have to worry about people doing this stuff at their home, but if they're on their balcony, who knows what you're going to see in the background?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So there was one that I witnessed... The guy was doing a report from his balcony in downtown Denver, mm-hmm. and he actually had the way the camera was pointed was lengthwise against the building, and apparently somebody next door said, "Hey, he's doing a live shot from the building." They ran out into the patio in a towel and decided flash everybody. But thankfully nothing was actually shown because the balcony kind of blocked it. But you got what was going on. Here's the funniest thing about this whole remote working from home and the TV. I don't know about other stations, but there's a couple stations in our market here in Denver, my station being one of them. They still have the traffic girl doing the traffic reports. And I feel so bad for her because they're like, now let's go to traffic. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Yep, there's no traffic. Back to you.
I do the traffic for the morning show here when I'm on the mornings. And yeah, it's like, well, I'll look. And I'll see the traffic cameras. There's hardly anybody in the road.
They give her like 5 minutes to do the traffic report.
Oh, no. Are
like,
you kidding
she's
me?
Like, she's like doing a little dance jig or whatever. Like, you know, it's like, there's no traffic. Why are you still talking to me?
We've talked about this 3 or 4 shows ago. Or we talked about, is it bad for these kids to be so immersed in electronics? And yet you see these professional athletes now. Like my father-in-law got to see iRacing this weekend. And it was a real NASCAR for him. I mean, he was full happiness tilt.
I honestly thought that was real when I first looked at it. I was like, wait, is this real?
Wait, what are you guys talking about? I'm lost.
NASCAR, they're doing virtual races on NASCAR with real drivers. They sent these giant setups to these drivers' houses. like a full on, like, you know, steering wheel and pedals, and they're all sitting there, and it's cool because like they're sitting there like in their real cars with the steering wheel like really close to their bodies, and they're driving in a virtual environment. So they got a virtual NASCAR game. It looks so real. And when they're racing, they're talking to the announcers, and they have real announcers that are like calling the game or the calling the race as if it were a real NASCAR race.
Spotters. They have so it's ran, it's cloud based, so it's just like a WPT for poker. It has an interface that you download, and it locks you in, and everybody has the same rules, and they can tell if you're cheating, and they can tell if you're hacking, all that other stuff. But real people can qualify.
Real drivers.
Yeah, can qualify to drive against the real drivers.
Oh my gosh! Really?
That is amazing.
That is
now. Where do you see this? Because I had not heard about this.
It was on
NASCAR.com. Oh, yeah, it was on FS1. Yeah, NASCAR, like the official NASCAR stuff, is airing this stuff. Yeah, so
iRacing has been around for. It's been popular for probably the past 5 years or so.
Yeah,
and it gained a lot of traction. And a lot of the drivers in the off season were racing in these iRacing series. You can race Formula One. You can race. I mean, pretty much every discipline of racing is available on here, and it's great for the off season. But now with all of this cancellations of NASCAR and things like that, they said we're going to continue our series digitally. Yep. iRacing.
It's really cool.
And they did it last weekend, and it was insanely popular.
Didn't an amateur win? Wasn't he not a professional driver?
This year, this week, it was a new kid that won, and he actually had the cheapest setup. He had the little steering wheel like we all have connected to a desk, and he had a small monitor. And he smoked a guy that had a full-on simulator that had the three monitors and the whole real driver. I mean, the software – I mean, I could tell you all so much about the software because I geeked out. I had to learn about it. And, I mean, it deals with the traction. It deals – so they actually send a company out to these tracks. They get the true measurements. They do all the mathematics, the AI.
It's the most realistic racing simulator.
When they force you to pit, the pit is averaged across what the fastest pit times have been recorded, what the slowest pit times have been recorded. They randomize it.
How do they do pits? They don't have virtual pit crews, do they? Do they have guys in their basement with actual stuff and carry tires around?
They said they take the time of the fastest pit times and then the slowest pit times, and they create an average, and they give some of them, they randomize some of them 1 to 2 seconds slower or faster.
So there's not actually anybody controlling the pit crew.
It actually sounds pretty cool. I'm going to have to look for this. FS1. Do you know if they have any clips on YouTube for this?
They got the whole last week's race.
Oh, it's up on YouTube?
On FS1.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of hoping, and we're speaking of virtual stuff, that Microsoft would go ahead and put out Flight Simulator now that, you know, a lot of people are home. A lot of people are you know, getting this downtime.
Oh, don't do this to me.
Well, it's supposed to be coming soon, but they haven't put it out yet.
You're talking about Flight Simulator. I had a graphics card that wasn't going to support it. Justin talked about getting his 2080 Ti.
Right.
He shipped me. I bought his 1070 from him.
Oh, cool.
And
do you like it?
It didn't fit in my case.
Ah, yes. You told me about that. Yeah.
So
Andy, we need you to get another case.
Yeah.
So I have this janky case underneath my desk that's from, I don't know, it's super old. The fans in the chassis fans are all Molex, so I had to put Molex in my modular power supply to actually get these chassis fans to work. But it's a janky little tower right now, but my smaller tower was not big enough for that big ginormous 1070 three fan beast.
Well, I had two of them, dude. I am in the market for a new case. I'll tell you what I was looking at. We got to take a quick break and come back. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
I'm Broadway.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Sean DeWeird.
I'm Broadway.
I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
All right, so before the break, we were talking about your fun adventures putting in a video card that was too big for the case.
Yeah, so if I got it in the mail, and I said, hey, guys, you know, I was playing games with my friends. I was like, hey, guys, I got this in the mail tonight. Give me like an hour. I'm just going to slap this thing in. I'll be back. Mm-hmm.
Famous last words.
I opened up the case, got this video card. I was like, dang, this thing was huge.
Twice as big as the one I had before. Don't forget, and twice as powerful.
I went to drop it in, and it was hitting the edge of the case. So I thankfully had a friend who had given me a couple old computer towers because he had gotten some from his uncle and I was stripping them out for him and he didn't want the cases anymore. So I just grabbed one of them and it is a janky case.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who made it? Do you know who's the
Janky? Oh, I don't even know. I don't even know.
Made by Janky.
Janky made it. I don't think it has a name
That's
on
what he
it.
Said. It's it's a wonky. It's a wonky case.
But it's a tall case. It's an obviously it's an old server tower.
Right.
To be honest.
Is it that nasty 90s beige color?
Oh yeah, that's
no,
awful.
No, not quite. The other one is that I did not put it in. But it's actually got a handle on the top with a lock on it. It's kind of fun to play with. Well, what I thought was going to take 15 to 20 minutes took me 2.5 hours of pulling out everything out of my old tower, putting it all in, making sure it all fits, getting my drives put in the right places.
The card that I bought, because I sold you my 1070, right?
Right.
The card that I bought, the 2080 Ti, is actually smaller than the 1070.
Yeah, no, I know. I looked it up because I was like, what did Justin put in there that was... Because I thought the 2080 was going to be bigger.
And
no,
I had two of the 1070s.
Right.
This card is massive. I mean,
it is.
What is your solution? Your solution is going to be either a Dremel tool or what?
In this case that I put it in, it had removable hard drive bays. So one of the hard drive bays I pulled out was in line with... the PCIe Express slot. Also, I had to think about it too because when I put the card in, my motherboard is from 2009, right?
Uh-oh.
So I thought I had to think about it. Past like the GTX like 960s, they took away the dual pin, so you only have a 6-pin power adapter for the GTX 1070.
What's your power supply?
Yeah.
EVGA 850 gold.
That'll be
plenty of power. Yeah, I've had that. When I upgraded my processor, I had to upgrade. So here's the side.
You don't have to take apart your computer during the show.
Literally taking it apart piece by piece. Just yeah.
Why don't you just go ahead and get yourself a new case? I mean, they're not that expensive.
I was gonna say I would have jerry rigged that thing with some duct tape and some.
It physically wouldn't fit.
You cut the bottom of that thing. You don't need all those hard drive racks anymore. You're not even using them.
Let me interrupt this because I know we're just going to be ganging up on Sean here. But I want to say, remember when I mentioned last week about my issues with the RTX 2080 Ti, how I was running like Call of Duty and it was like topping out at like 86 Celsius, which is getting up to the upper limits of a video card. I discovered one very minor issue or man problem. It's not my case fans. The fact of the matter was I did not have any of the software installed that helps control the video card.
Oh, okay.
And because this is an HP OEM RTX, they don't release software for HP OEMs. However, I looked up and found that EVGA's software interfaces fine with the HP OEM card. So I downloaded that piece of software and it allowed me to control the fan. So the thing was is the card automatically is set to automatic fan control. And it was thinking during when I was playing games, it was thinking that it was fine at 86 Celsius at 10% fans. So I said, no, I'm going to manually control the fans. I bumped it up to 60% and I put a hotkey on my keyboard. So whenever I start up a game, I just hit a hotkey. It automatically launches that program and sets it to 60% fans. I'm sitting there playing Call of Duty, Red Dead Redemption 2. I'm playing them at full settings and I'm running at a cool 74 Celsius.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that you want to play the higher end games and stuff. If you don't have extra cooling in your PC, it could affect their gameplay.
I didn't have to add any extra fans. And I know
That's
John
cool.
mentioned, you know, adding extra fans. I've got enough fans in it. It's the fact of the matter was the card itself was not smart enough, I guess, to say, hey, I'm pretty hot. Maybe I should turn my fans up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had to manually control it. But once I've done that now, and not only that, I can control the LED lights on it. I can change all the colors to match the other LEDs that I have in my case. So that's pretty cool. So yeah, I just downloaded the free software and let it go. And it's working great.
The other thing we were talking about fans is this is an old case. Like this came from, like I said, my friend's uncle who built computers in the late 80s and 90s. So a lot of the power supply I took out of it was almost, I think it was all Molex.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to replace, I took my power supply and put it in this tower. And the fans are Molex only. So there's no onboard support for them. So they are plugged in. So they're running at 100% all the time right now. So what I have is I ordered three new 80 millimeter fans with a front mountable fan controller. So I can put all the fans into the fan controller and then run it off one chassis fan slot.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which will then allow me to control the speeds of the fans and stuff. But right now they're just running at full tilt. So if I turned up the gain on my mic, you could probably hear the fans running right now.
Do you, for any of you guys, would you have a preference when it comes to cases? Because there are a bunch of them on the market. I mean, you could go into a store like SWS here, or even a Fry's if you got Fry's Electronics, and you could look at cases.
A cooler.
I built my first computer in 2009, and it was a Cooler Master fan, or mm-hmm. a Cooler Master case, just a generic small Cooler Master case.
One of the best. Corsair makes them too, and I've never.
Yeah, Corsair. Any of the aluminum, any of the true like good quality grade aluminum cases, those to me are the best, especially ones that have a little bit more machining to them. You're going to spend upwards of $100-$150, but the fact that it's aluminum alone, your cooling inside the case would be a ton easier.
Now, if somebody was like maybe they got themselves an HP that would accept that card, that's a bigger card, but it's in a smaller tower. Can they, in most cases, pull that motherboard out and put it in a Corsair or a Cooler Master case?
Most motherboards in most cases are designed to fit a variety of sizes of motherboards. Obviously, if you have a micro ATX motherboard, you're not going to want to slap that into a big case because you're going to have all this extra space.
Right.
But a lot of them are designed so that you fit the peripherals out the back. And most of the time when you buy a motherboard, it comes with a faceplate that fits the peripherals and mounts into the back of the case that you bought.
Exactly.
That's not, but so most of the times in my experience with helping friends or building my own computers, it's easy enough to buy a generic case that is relatively easy going to fit most, if not all, consumer computer products.
I've been in the market recently, and as a matter of fact, I looked today because you mentioned the cases. And Cooler Master makes a case called the Silencio. It's a perfect case because what it is, it's foam padded. It's got the way they've designed the case. It gives you the maximum airflow, but it also keeps it quiet. And I mean, super quiet. You can't even tell it's on. When you power it up, you know, it starts up. You never hear the fans going crazy. And it's perfect. So I was just, I had a Silencio case and it was really good. And now I want to get their newest one, and that's the one from Cooler Master. Mm. It's certainly worth the purchase. And you could spend anywhere from $50 all the way up to $200 just for a case, depending on what that case
that's
can
crazy.
Do. Yeah. I know people. Well, I think the Cooler Master Half 932, which you have, I think when we were getting that one set up, I think that one was like $132.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for that case. And then, you know, I have the modular cases.
And then I took it and then cut a big hole in the side panel.
Yes.
So I can put a plexiglass in there so I can see it. That's, you know, I like the ones that have the windows in it. You know, unfortunately, this one didn't come with that. So I had to aftermarket it, if you will.
Broadway, which one are you using now? Are you using Cooler Master?
I actually have a Cooler Master that's the old original personal gaming one that has the two big video cards just like Justin has, that Sean has one of them now. I think we talked about that. I think I have the 1080 version of those the 980s. I have those old double fan big boys SLI together, blah, blah, blah. But I've been thinking about going to a micro or a mini and just cleaning up the desk, but I just can't seem to find the right... I don't know. I still want to be able to game with it, and there's not many of the smaller cards that will be as quiet as I'd like. I mean, as Justin mentioned, I like quiet stuff nowadays. I don't want to hear my PS4 screams, and I'm tired of hearing fans buzz all the time. It just gives me tinnitus.
So I'm having a problem now, guys. I've got a laptop. It's a Dell Inspiron 15 3000 series, and it was sent to me by my company, and the thing is it has an HDMI port. And I can't get the HDMI port to work. And I'm thinking I could probably install new video drivers on it that may have that HDMI port functionality to have a second monitor plugged in or maybe a larger monitor. But I'm thinking, should I do that without calling the IT guy? Is that what would you do if you work in IT, you give somebody a laptop and they ended up starting to install software on it?
I would kill them.
Yeah.
Are you sure this isn't a right kind of cable situation and you're not hitting like the proper function and other button first?
Yeah, because everything I show online, you can right click and go to your device properties and then you can see where it says, you know, HDMI or second port or, you know, your graphics adapter, and it doesn't have that as an option. And as a matter of fact, it's not showing the Intel HD adapter, it's showing a Microsoft generic video driver.
Right, but I mean, before you even get to the driver functionality, make sure the hardware is actually being detected, and that's going to be affected by the HDMI cable. Are you sure you're using a proper two-way sync, mm-hmm. or does it need to just be a one-way?
Bi-directional cable, and I've tried two different monitors with it, but there's nothing to enable it. Even just plugging it in.
How long is that?
You don't have a function. You don't have a function F9 or F8 key for that?
No. It shows. It does show a monitor, and if I use the function key on it, it will say projector cannot project to this PC. Then it says please load drivers. So that would make me think it's a driver issue.
But Windows should have that driver. It's a Dell.
Yeah, I was going to say a Windows update or just searching for it in the device manager should prompt you to get the driver from Windows.
Yeah, one of the options was to do a BIOS update, and I thought, no, I'll really be in trouble if I do that. So maybe I shouldn't.
Oh, no. No, go for it, Andy. Go for it. Be the rock star of your IT world.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back. We've got a couple of fun websites of the week we'll take a look at. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
I'm Broadway.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Broadway.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
I'm Andy Taylor.
And I'm Justin Lemme.
So our website of the week, we've got a couple of them. First off, I've got one for especially good if you're at home, you want to sit in front of the computer, you want to do stuff, maybe you're listening to the show, gamesforthebrain.com. And basically, it's just some thinking games. You can go there. They're free to play. There's one called Rotate 2, a lot of people have been talking about, which is a fun one. And there's other ones that are on there. And again, it's all free to play. Don't click that big start button that you're going to see down at the bottom. And instead, just click on the game that you might want to try out. But Rotate 2 is a fun one. And I know, Sean, you had a pretty fun one as well.
I've been finding myself with some free time on the days that I have to work from home and I'm on my lunch and I want to play some DOS games. Everybody remembers their favorite DOS game from the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
The Internet Archive, archive.org. You can just go to archive.org. They archive all sorts of stuff around the internet. You can go to the software library and you can play within your browser these DOS games. Click on the game, you hit play, and it pulls it up right in your browser.
What are some of the games that are there?
Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, SimCity, Aladdin, Wolfenstein. It's pretty much any DOS game you can think of that was created. It's the Internet Archive, so they have almost, I think, exclusively every DOS game that's ever been made.
They have Dr. Shrink on there. This was a DOS game that I played back as a kid. It was kind of like a question and answer. It would give you like 70 questions, like based on it was a personality test. At the end, it would give you a full report on the type of person you are, and it was surprisingly accurate.
Really?
And it was a really, really cool game, and I always thought if there was a way for me to learn Java, because I was taking a Java class at one point, I would want to redesign Dr. Shrink because it was such a cool program, but I've never been able to, first off, learn Java, and second off, find the source code to Dr. Shrink.
I think one of my favorite games that I think it was based on DOS was Interstate 76. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was kind of a fun adventure game, had some cool music, had cars, and everything took place in the year 1976. That was a fun one to play.
Rise of the Triad.
That was yours?
Hexic, Rise of the Triad, Heretic before Hexic.
Oh, Heretic.
Yep.
And Doom and Quake, the original old stuff.
Yeah. My favorites were Wolfenstein 3D, Doom. Mm-hmm. Oregon Trail, because I played that in like grade school and played it with my friends. And then Hocus Pocus were probably my favorite ones.
Duke Nukem, y'all remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
I do remember that, too.
Yeah, well, we had what's his name on a show not too long ago, the voice of Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to play DOS games on the internet, a browser, GOG Games. You can download a lot of these DOS classics that will be can be actually you can download them, you can purchase them, and play them actually on your machine instead of playing them through a web browser. So that's a great that's another good resource for DOS games if you're interested in nice. Playing DOS games.
Very cool. Well, that wraps up this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
I'm Broadway.
And I'm Justin Lemme. Thank you all for listening. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
And don't forget, you can reach out to us by giving us a call. Our telephone number, 520-777-9580. You can leave your question. We may use that on the show if you have a question or a comment about technology. You can also email us, techguys@techtalkradio.com. And of course, be sure to follow our Twitter feed at Tech Talk Radio. Have yourselves a great week. We'll be back next week with more.